although the materials our homes are built from might be taking inspiration from the past, the way we power them certainly isn't. Solar power, known as photovoltaics or PV, is showing enormous promise, as I heard from Oxford University's Professor Henry Snaith.
Most solar panels are made out of a material called silicon, which is a semiconductor. It's the same material we use in our computers. It absorbs sunlight, and from that sunlight, it generates electricity. The silicon was quite expensive, but it's been scaled industrially over the last 10 years especially, and now it's actually not very expensive. This means that solar power is almost as inexpensive to make electricity as conventional power, like coal and gas. And of course, this depends on where in the world you are and how much sunlight you have.
That's quite surprising. I didn't realise we were quite as close as that. But they're not ideal yet, are they? Because they're not particularly efficient.
No. Well, I guess it depends on what scale you look. But the efficiency of a module, we sort of measure it as an efficiency of converting solar energy into electrical energy. And they're typically around 20%. And that probably sounds, that's not very efficient. You've got 80% left that you could get. But actually, 20% is still quite good, but we can do better. There is a way of making solar cells more efficient, and that's a type of device called a multi-junction device.
Silicon is a single-junction device, meaning it only absorbs certain parts of the sun's energy. But if you have lots of different junctions in the solar cells, each one can collect a different part of the light, like ultraviolet or infrared, therefore increasing the amount of sunlight you can make use of. In fact, for a multi-junction device, we could get up to 50% efficiency.
Fortuitously, a few years ago, about 4 years ago, we discovered that a new family of materials called perovskites could work very, very well in solar cells. And these materials are based on salts that mix together and form a crystalline compound, very similar to, for instance, just salt, table salt, that dissolves in water. When it dries, it crystallizes to form little crystals. And it appears to have all the good properties of these very high-quality semiconductors, despite being very easy to process.
Well, that sounds great. Why are we still messing around with these old-fashioned ones then? What's going on?
Okay. All new technologies take a fairly long time to work through all the problems to get them to fulfill their promise. So, as I said, we sort of discovered these perovskites worked well about 4 years ago. And since then, there's been an absolute explosion in research interest. There's been increasing commercial development in getting these technologies to the level that they can outperform current technologies and then enter the market. So we want to be able to do it within the next 2 to 5 years. But there are a number of challenges that still remain. The promise is all there, but we have to deliver now by making sure these materials and the solar cells will last for 25 years, making sure they outperform silicon, not just on small cells, but also on, you know, large areas, mass produced every day. All the modules have to be at very high efficiency. There's also a drive towards being able to make these solar cells look like glazing, so that you can have tinted windows and be able to generate a fair amount of power off them while also being able to see through.
And can perovskites deal with that?
Perovskites can be coated directly onto glass, so you can make what we call a thin film module. So perovskites can basically look like a sheet of glazing.
Thinking about timescale, what are we thinking for our house in 2050? Is it going to be powered off solar?
It has every possibility of being powered off solar. The technology will definitely be there to do that. The balance is really the cost differential between producing your electricity in a field and then just using conventional transmission to transmit the power to the building versus the benefit of producing the power locally on the building. And combining that with the aesthetics, the stuff to really make a big impact on buildings, it has to be versatile, because architects are rather pernickety about what a building looks like. Maybe
it's not
fortunately
like it's their
or
job.
Unfortunately, exactly. So we have to develop technologies that are versatile. And then I think we will see a situation in the future where any free space which is exposed to sunlight will be generating power.
And in terms of price, we're expecting that to come down a lot as well?
If I had to make a prediction, I'd say in 15 years' time, probably PV anywhere in the world with storage will be cheaper than any other technology for producing power.
So in 30 years' time, Chris, you can invite me around for dinner in your new solar cell windowed wooden house. That was Henry Snaith from Oxford University.
Well, I very much look forward to that, Connie. You're listening to The Naked Scientists with me, Chris Smith, and also with Connie Orbach. Still to come, would you share your washing machine with your neighbours to make life more sustainable? We'll find out. Plus, how do noise-cancelling headphones actually work? First,